Well, this morning, some of you brought a figure from a creche you own, and together we assembled our own unique, diverse nativity scene. In a way, we were doing this morning in real time what we've been doing over the internet this past month in our creche share project. Now, our creche share project seems to have struck a chord with many members of the church who've been receiving the pictures and the texts via our all-church email. But it has also seemed to have struck a chord in the world beyond our parish by those who experienced it through the daily posts we put up on Facebook. For 25 days, you have seen each day a new creche together with some background material from the creche owner about where it came from and why it was important to them. It is said that every picture tells a story, and it seems that every creche does as well. And so Allison Miller sent in a picture of her felt creche, which little Amelia, now all of 2 years old, loves to cuddle with. Jackie Clayton sent us a photograph of a creche which she picked up in Bethlehem all the way back in 1963, hand-carved from olive wood. Marianne Williams sent us a photo of their creche, which husband Greg sets up, which is all about diversity in Cape Cod. In a nod to recent controversies, it features a great white shark on the roof. Susan Muller's creche even features an astronaut, a nod to the cosmic Christ, Lord of heaven and earth. Which brings me to our Christmas staff lunch this year when the topic of the creche share project came up. Everyone started talking about their family creche. Susan led off with an account of how her family had a Playmobil creche, basically a children's toy model of a creche with plastic child-friendly figures. Except that her kids had a number of other Playmobil sets, and their parts were continually getting mixed up with the creche parts, which was okay for the most part. But one of the Playmobil sets they had was for a kitchen, and it had larger pieces. And the kids loved to take the baby Jesus and put him in the big stew pot on the stove. They thought this was hilarious. Sue, to her everlasting credit, did not. But it got me to thinking that there was something profoundly Christ-like in the whole situation, with Jesus literally finding himself in hot water. Because much as we love that nativity scene with the Jesus as an infant, snug as a bug in a rug, wrapped in those swaddling clothes, safely tucked away in a straw-filled manger, we know that the Jesus who calls us to follow him, did not stay in that manger, tucked away from the cares of the world. Jesus grew to manhood, and he ended up in a lot of hot water because he was true to his calling, because he stood up against injustice. He spoke out for the last and the least. He proclaimed God's message that God was against all who would divide humanity against himself, all who would profit off the back of the oppressed, all who would use their power over others. This was a Jesus who got into so much hot water that he ended up nailed to a bone-dry piece of wood. Donna, she followed up with a story about the expansive set of figures which compromised their family creche, a set which includes, in addition to the usual cast of characters, a number of villagers and their work animals, including a donkey-drawn cart loaded with fruit and vegetables. Her kids, it's always about the kids, her kids thought it was a great idea to put the infant Jesus in the cart and place the fruit and vegetables in the manger, which, if you think of the manger as a feed box for animals, makes a good deal of sense. And then they lined up all the other figures in a straight line, all staring directly, not at Jesus, who was in a cart on the side, but at the fruit and the vegetables in the manger, which, upon reflection, their mom thought made a lot of sense. Christmas had not yet come, so Jesus has not yet arrived, so everyone is anxiously watching for him to come. But then I wondered, isn't there also something profoundly right about the idea of Jesus out in a cart on the move while everyone's staring at the manger? It's kind of like what most of the world does in the holiday season leading up to Christmas. When we actually remember the reason for the season, we think about showing up in church on Christmas Eve and singing our beloved Christmas carols, and we think about pageants and poinsettias and so on. We get ready to gather together to worship the Prince of Peace, but we do very little to further the work of peace in our community, our nation, and our world. The adult Jesus might call us to love our neighbor, but instead we Christians too often enjoy feeling aggrieved that someone else might dare call a decorated evergreen a holiday tree, or actually utter the inclusive Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. St. Francis of Assisi is credited with creating the first creche or nativity scene in 1223. His purpose was to change the emphasis of Christmas celebrations from gift-giving and secular materialism to the worship of Christ. His creche was an instant hit, and its popularity continues to this day, continuing to help successive generations remember and reimagine the Nativity and our relation to it. And there is, of course, no one correct portrayal of the Nativity. There is nothing in the biblical account to suggest that there were animals in that barn. We just assume there was. There's actually nothing that says there was a barn. I think recent archaeological research would suggest that usually what would happen is people would have a family home, and in the ground floor underneath, that's where they would keep the animals. Luke says nothing about magi, those we refer to as wise men or kings. And even Matthew doesn't give us a specific number of them. We just assume that there were three because there are three gifts mentioned: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the thing is, we're free to use our imagination. And in so doing, we put ourselves at the creche as well. For instance, one church this year set up their nativity scene in a pool of water, a visual reference to the problem of modern global warming and the rise of sea levels. And Greg Williams includes his great white shark, and Susan Muller adds the astronaut. And yes, Susan's kids mix in a PlayStation kitchen with Jesus in the hot water in Canada. And Donna's kids puts Jesus in a horse-drawn cart. For me, the good news is that what we are doing, each in our own unique, often quirky way, we're doing just what St. Francis of Assisi was hoping for when he set up his first creche some 800 years ago. We're making Christmas a little more real for us. And in so doing, we recall that just as the Magi were transformed by their visit to the Nativity long ago, so much so that they left for their home by another road, our hope is that we, in revisiting the Nativity, through our engaging with the creche that has been handed down to us by our parents, that we picked up on a trip abroad, or even one that our children played with in ways we never could have imagined, the hope is that we might be transformed a little bit as well. Transformed by coming a little bit closer to the one who came to us in the most unlikely of places, in a barn, surrounded by animals, by strangers, by visitors from afar. Amen.